Thank you. I enjoyed very much what Brother J.E. has preached to us. And while he was preaching, I was thinking, he mentioned in the outset of his discourse some of his experience. And a few years back, I was very burdened to study the subject of learning to be content. And I had a purpose in studying that subject. My son, who is in the audience, had a very bad health condition. I was worried about him. And I thought that if I could study this and preach that subject in his presence, that maybe that it could help him. But the Lord had another purpose for me studying that subject. My wife and I had purposed to be at the hospital in Covington, Georgia. We parked, and as we pulled up to park, a lady walked in front of my car. That I did not know her, but I recognized that the lady had a problem. But we were in a hurry to get in. It was late, and we wanted to get in the hospital before they locked the door. But my wife spoke to her. And when she answered, I knew for sure something was wrong and she needed help. And I began to preach to her that subject, learning to be content. And her begging me to continue on. Yes. I need it so bad. I need it. And then she said, would you please have prayer? We bowed our heads. My wife, that lady whose name I never got, and myself, and we tried to pray to the God of heaven for her. An experience that I'll never forget. A subject I reckon that I'll never forget about it. That's not what I'm going to preach on, I don't guess, but I just wanted to tell that. I want us to think about a verse of scripture that's found in Psalms 111 and verse 9. 111 and verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverent is his name. We could just close the book as a sermon. As a sermon. This verse of scripture is a covenant of grace. A covenant of grace. He sent redemption to his people. Do you see election?
Yes.
Do you believe election is taught in the Bible? One of my granddaughters brought a friend of hers by my house, and he was supposed to be a pretty religious boy, and I wanted to talk to him about the Bible. And I got started with election. And later I found out he didn't believe what I said. I mean, I gave him the scripture, so he didn't believe the scriptures, apparently. But the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" And Brother J.E. said I asked the question, why would God elect the people if he was going to save everybody? Why would he elect the people if he was going to save anybody, or everybody rather? But that verse of scripture says there's an elect. And he also mentioned the red writing. Did you know the Lord mentioned that in the red writing about when he comes again, he'll send his angels to gather together his elect from the four winds of the earth. So we got it in the red writing, we got it in the black, hadn't we? So, and then the Apostle Peter, he comes along and he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Well, that sounds like that must have been back yonder somewhere. And when we read this particular lesson, even though he said he sent redemption unto his people, he hath commanded his covenant. That sounds like back yonder too, doesn't it? We also see something else here. Why would he send redemption to his people? Why would he do that? Don't you expect that if he sent redemption, and he did, that they must have needed it? Well, why did they need it? Well, God gave Adam a law. He gave Adam a law. And please understand that he gave Adam the law. He gave Adam the law. The day that thou eatest thereof, let me go back, of all the trees of the garden that you could eat, have the rights of, but one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the day that thou eatest thereof, Adam, I'm going to put that in there, because that's who he's addressing. Thou shalt surely die. And he is simply saying, dying, thou shalt die. But there's something here. Eve partook of it first. Did y'all know that? Well, she didn't die. Not then. Why? Because the law was not given to Eve. The Apostle Paul tells us this, that by the law is the knowledge of sin. How are we going to know that it's wrong to steal if we didn't have a law that says thou shalt not steal? or if we didn't have a law that says thou shalt not kill, how would we know it's wrong to do that? Eve partook of that, but there was no law to condemn her. Not then. Even when Cain slew Abel, there was no law to condemn him for murder, even though God was not pleased with either one of them. Those laws did not come until God gave them to Moses a long time after that. And this Bible tells us that sin reigned, and I'm going to add that death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression. But when Adam partook, sin entered. Sin entered. That's the reason we die. It's because of sin. That's the reason that sometimes we see little babies die. Not something that they've done, but it's because of sin. Sin is in these bodies. Sin. And can you really describe the terribleness of it? The awfulness of sin. Paul said, I believe it's in the 5th chapter of Romans, that as sin hath reigned, what? Sin hath reigned unto death. He also said, I believe it's in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Sin. So terrible, the Apostle Paul, in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, describing himself that, and I can't quote all those, I can't remember them all, but when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I'm out here wanting to do one thing, but I find myself doing something different. Why? Because of sin. And then he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me? Who can deliver me? I can't deliver myself. I can't get out of this. Who can deliver me from the body of this death? That's what it is, brother. Who can do it? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And why him? Because he's the one that God sent to redeem us. That's what the angel declared in Matthew chapter 1. He shall save his people from their sins. And I'm going to tell you, he did it. He did it. Wonderful thing about that word, redemption, it covers the entirety of being delivered from sin. The entirety of it. We talk, Christ redeemed us. But that ain't the end of the story, is it? That's not the end of the story. Let me just turn over there. I love the 8th chapter of Romans. sometimes when you have an opportunity, go there and study it and pay close attention to it. And over there where it says that you have to, pardon me, sometimes I have a problem with old timers. Brother Gus told me that he was 79. Do you ever have a problem with old timers, Brother Gus?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I do too. And Brother Jerry back there, he's in his 80s. I know that. And he'd probably tell you the same thing, that old timers sometimes catches up with us. In this lesson, the Apostle Paul said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, if you want to find what the all things are, read Romans chapter 8. Read Romans chapter 8 and start picking out those things that work for our good. I'll go to the second verse. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now I ask you, was that not for our good? I say it was. And notice something else. If the judge ever says that you're not guilty anymore, you can never, never be brought back under that law again. And the judge has said it. Because, I believe it's in the fourth chapter of Romans, he said he was delivered for our offenses and rose again for our justification. And that's a legal term. That's God declaring that all the elect are just. So, can't go back under it again, can you? Okay, now we got that one settled. We're going down to where I was headed. We was outside. I heard a couple before the service started, a couple of brethren talking about hope. And this verse of scripture here, I can't see with them on, I can't see with them off. Anyway, this is the I'm gonna go back before the 24th verse, but I'm gonna go back. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, waiting for the adoption. Should I say it again? Waiting. Must not have it yet, have we? We've been predestinated unto it. We've received the Spirit of it. But here he says, we're waiting for it. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, that is to say, or namely, to wit, that is to say, the redemption. See, I said it wasn't completely finished, didn't I? The redemption of these bodies. That's talking about being ransomed in full, waiting for it. We don't have it. But the next verse, he says, For we are saved by hope. Earlier in the chapter, he said that this old creature here has an earnest expectation of being delivered from the bondage of corruption. That destroys what they used to call the hollow log doctrine, doesn't it? Now I'll let Brother Marty explain that one to you. But anyway, he says we're waiting for the adoption, but we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. You know, a lot of people will tell you, if that's what you have, you don't have anything. But I contend that we do. It's not a wish. It's a hope. It's an earnest expectation. But he says, hope that is seen is not hope. For that that we seeth, why doth we yet hope for it? Most of the time, if we got the money and we want to look a new car, we don't hope for a new car. We just go out and buy it. But that we see, why doth we yet hope for it? But if that we see not, what? That we see not. What he had just described in the verse before that when he said that we're waiting for the adoption. We haven't seen that. But we're hoping for it. But if that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We're waiting for it. Waiting for it. It's coming. I believe it. I believe it's in a Corinthian letter. He said, while we look at things which are not seen, look at things which are not seen. How can you see things that are not seen? While we look at things that are not seen. For things that are seen are temporal. But things that are not seen are eternal. And how are we looking at it? We're looking at it like this right here. In God's word, it's pinned down. God said it. God said it. I thought about it when Brother J.E. was talking about it again. In the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, there's a verse of scripture, I believe about the 17th verse, if you want to turn to read it. It says, the scripture saith, and it's concerning Pharaoh back there in the Old Testament. The scripture saith. Well, when you turn back to the Old Testament and read what he's quoting, it's God saying it. So, the scripture saith, he's saying, God said it. A lot of people will tell you, well, God talked to me last night. God talked to me last night. Well, if it wasn't through this word, he didn't talk to you. But if you want him to talk to you, go start reading. Go start reading, because it's here, brethren. God is not speaking anymore now. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, he spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto his Son. And when the last apostle died, That ended that. Not talking anymore right now. It's through his word. So let's go there and start reading. Read it. Read it. Let's encourage our children to read it. Let's spend some time in it. Spend some time in it. Much studying is a weariness to the flesh. But what to do? Study. He didn't say quit. Study. 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 Read, read, read. You know what? After a while, you'll get to wanting to read it. Yes, you will. You'll get to wanting to read it. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. In Luke, it says his name is holy. First chapter, I believe I'm right. First or second. Holy and reverent is his name. There is not a man on earth, it matters not who he is, that has the right to wear that other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a man. I can't do like some of these people can and pronounce the Hebrew word. I can't do it. And I guess that I've gotten too old to try now. But I do have the means of looking up those words. And I do that. In the Hebrew, where that word reverent, and that's the only time you find the word reverent in the Bible, the only time. But in the Hebrew, that word that reverent was taken from, they were in 316 or 17 places in the Old Testament that they used another word. And one of the words that was used, I guess, more than all the others, was the word fear, or fearful, or frightened. But it's a reverential every time that God is involved in that particular thought. It's reference to fearing him and reverence to him, not us. Holy and reverent is his name. Please don't ever address me as reverent. Don't ever do it, brethren. I'm a sinner. I'm a worthless sinner. And I don't just tell you that. I feel that in my heart to be a worthless sinner. I don't deserve nothing that the Lord's blessed me with, but he's been so good to me, and I want to praise him. May God bless you.